reflect, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the silsila Reflect to Succeed. And mashallah, today yet again we do have another beautiful, insightful topic of discussion. And that is regarding something very, very imperative, something very important. And that is, protect your gaze. So yes, we are going to be discussing and diving deep into this topic, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, through the grace and infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the medium and wasila of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I the ability to inhale and to exhale. And so much more blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I with, that it is countless, Steves of Madani channel. Us opening our eyes in the morning itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine all of these blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given us, our body limbs, our body organs, and like that, many other blessings in life. And like that, many other blessings in life that are countless. It is imperative upon us, upon you and I, that we show gratitude to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that we thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for granting us these infinite blessings, these countless blessings. The Holy Quran teaches us that if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never ever be able to do so. Our human body itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the functions, the so many functions that our body can do, can achieve. And today we are speaking about protecting our gaze, protecting our sight. These eyes of ours, the views of Madani channel, they aren't there to look at wrong, to look at evil. These eyes, they are there to look towards that which is good, to look at the Holy Quran, to look at the Holy Kaaba, to look at Madinatul Munawwara, to look at nature, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, the skies, the clouds, the grass, the sand, the ocean, the rivers. When your eyes look towards these type of sceneries, it actually has an impact on your brain. It makes you feel more calm, it makes you feel more serene, it gives you that tranquility. And more so when you recite the Holy Quran, I mean, one is, when you recite the Holy Quran, your eyesight, it gets improved. But together with that, there are rewards for looking into the Holy Quran and reciting it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, with all of these blessings, the views of Madani channel, and what we can do with our eyes, the question is, how are you and I utilizing it? Because we have to remember, And think about it from this perspective, that whatever you look at, that is what is going to be processed in your thoughts, in your brain. You will be thinking about it. Whatever you may be looking at, you're looking at good, you'll be thinking good. You're looking at Quran, you'll be thinking good. But you look at something evil, you look at something haram, something forbidden, then your thoughts and your brains, it will be messed up. It will be filled with evil as well, because your eyesight, understand it in this way, our eyesight is the gateway. Yes, whatever we see, it gets processed. And that's how we start thinking. And that actually, it triggers our nerves, either in a good way or either in a bad way. Now, I want to narrate to you a very beautiful story, wherein that Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf rahimahullah, he was one of the blessed saints, famous wali of his time. He used to spend most of his time in the masjid worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had dedicated his youth in worshipping Allah ta'ala. And once he was coming out of the masjid, and guess what happened? Suddenly, his sight, his gaze, it fell on a young woman. And now his heart, it inclined towards her for a while, but he immediately, he felt ashamed of this act. He raised his hands for dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what dua did he make? He said, "Oh Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt you have blessed me with eyes, which are a great blessing. But I have a fear that I might suffer punishment due to these eyes, and that these eyes become the means of my destruction." He says, "Ya Allah, deprive me of my sight." And the moment he completed his dua, he had lost his sight and he became blind. So after that, he used to keep his nephew with him, who would take him to the masjid at the time of salah. He would help him, you know, to fulfill his other needs, etc. And the nephew of Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf, rahimahullah, would leave him at the masjid, and then he himself would play with children. When he would have any need, then he would call his nephew. So once he was in the masjid and he felt something crawling on his body. Of course, he was blind. He don't know what it is. So he called his nephew. But the nephew, he was busy playing with children and he could not come to him. Now, he sensed the risk that something might hurt him. So what did he do? He made dua again in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Ya Allah, if I don't get my sight back and it turns out to be a trouble and disgrace for me because I'm not able to see anything and any dangerous creature may hurt me, on the other hand, I need help. I need help of somebody repeatedly for fulfilling my needs. Let's put me into a trouble. Ya Allah, give me back my sight so that I get prevented from disgrace and dependence on others." Sayyidina Malik bin Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf rahimahullah had not yet completed his dua and he regained his sight, and now he himself, without anyone's help, reached his home. And he says that, "I have seen him in both states, in the state of blindness, and then by the blessing of the dua, he regained his sight. And now, like the past, he would go to the masjid himself and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the viewers of Madani channel, we have heard that how our pious predecessors were. If these blessed personalities would see any benefit of the hereafter, then they would not care for worldly loss, but they would never bear any loss of the hereafter for the sake of any worldly benefit. And from this parable, we see that Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf rahimahullah did accept the loss of the vision of his eyes, but never liked to show disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through those same eyes. We also need to protect our eyes. You know, unfortunately, as a person is fearless in speaking, he's also fearless in looking at others. He does not even realize that this is such a type of activity which could be a means of reward or punishment for him. For example, if someone looks at his mother with love, muhabba, with affection, he receives the reward equal to an accepted hajj. And on the other hand, if he looks at a non-mahram with lust, he becomes deserving of the torment of hell, because looking at non-mahram woman is not a human act. Rather, it is an act of shaitan. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned, Al-mar'atu 'awratun fa'idha kharajat istashrafaha ash-shaytan. That a woman is an awrah, meaning something to be concealed. When she comes out, shaitan peeps at her. Allahu Akbar. And Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he said that whoever does not have the ability to close his eyes cannot protect his private parts. And one can judge the importance of protecting one's sight from this, that the Holy Quran clearly mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. The translation is that command the Muslim men to keep their gaze low and to protect their private organs. This is much purer for them. Indeed, Allah is aware of their deeds. Here, it is stated that in this ayah, people have been commanded to lower their gaze, and it is compulsory for people to act upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, a person will be pronounced to be disrespectful, and he will be stopped and not allowed to go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as stated in this ayah, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى, meaning that is much purer for them. That is, it purifies their hearts and increases their virtues. In this blessed saying, it has been informed that purification of the heart, abundance of worship and goodness lies in keeping the gaze lowered. Because if you would not prevent your gaze and let it go uncontrolled, then what will happen? It will look at meaningless things. And if you get deprived of divine rahmah, of divine mercy, then a person will be destroyed. Because either you will see haram things and resultantly indulge in sin, or will look at mubah things and your heart will get engaged in them. And this will cause you to have evil thoughts and satanic whispers. So after all, your heart will get engaged in these after being heedless of goodness. Allahu Akbar. From this we see the importance of protecting one's gaze. Remember that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded in the Holy Quran to prevent unlawful gazing. Likewise, there are so many blessed ahadith commanding the Muslim males to lower the gaze and refrain from seeing the things declared haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, avoid sitting in the ways. The companions alayhim ridwan, they humbly said that there is no way out of it, as these are our sitting places where we have talks. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if you must sit there, then fulfill the rites of the way, of the path. The companions alayhim ridwan, they said, and they queried, what are the rites of the way? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, lowering the gazes, removing the harmful things, answering salam, enjoining good and forbidding evil. These are the rites of the way, the rites of the path. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that you must lower your gaze and protect your private parts. Straighten your face, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disfigure your faces. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that after you have cast a gaze, do not cast the second gaze. That is, if you suddenly cast an unintentional gaze at a woman, then turn your eyes away instantly and do not look again. Because the first gaze is permissible, but the second is impermissible. Now, what does the first gaze mean? What do we understand by this? You know, so you may get some people unwise, described this last hadith that we have mentioned, ma'adullah, like this. They say that since the first gaze is exempted, Therefore, they don't turn away their first gaze and continuously commit unlawful gazing. Right? They continuously look. Whereas, only that first gaze is exempted which falls on a woman unintentionally and was removed immediately. Not where a person is staring and just looking and continuously just looking. Even the first gaze made intentionally is impermissible. And it is an act leading to Jahannam. Now here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he has said that the first gaze, it refers to that one which falls on any strange non-mahram woman unintentionally. And the second gaze, it refers to the one that falls intentionally. Now if one continues watching in a first gaze, then it will be regarded as the second gaze. And it will be a sinful act. Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahimahullah, he says that the rule for looking at a non-mahram woman is that if necessary, he may look at her face and palms, because sometimes this is necessary. For example, if a witness who is to testify for or against her in a court case is prevented from looking at her, then how can he testify for or against her? However, even here, there must be no possibility of lust whilst looking at her. These days, this is needed because, you know, in markets and public streets, many women walk around outside their homes. And to avoid seeing their faces at all is very difficult. So some scholars permit looking at their feet as well. And he, rahimahullah, further says that although it is permissible to look at the face of a non-mahram woman without any chance of lust, these are irreligious times. People of this era are not like people of the past, people of the earlier generations. That is why in this era, looking at the face will be prevented. However, it is permissible for a witness or judge to look in case of necessity. Now remember that it is necessary for a Muslim to know who are those women from whom Islam has commanded to do parda, and who are those from whom Islam allows not to do parda. So here, subhanAllah, Amir Ahli Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, has said that there is parda between man and his aunts, meaning except the sister of his father and that of the mother, right? The sister-in-law, both the sister of his wife as well as the wife of his brother. There is the commandment of parda between called brother and sister, and called mother and son, and called father and daughter. And here by called, it means that there are such people who do not actually have blood relation. Instead, they treat each other like a brother and sister, etc., due to a type of friendship. In fact, they aren't real brother and sister at all. And Sharia does not endorse such relationships. So, this is what it means by called brother and sister, etc. And there is parda even with an adopted child when he becomes baligh. However, there is no parda between the two having family relation established by virtue of suckling. For example, between Radai mother and son, and Radai brother and sister. So, new views of Madani channel. You know, regarding protecting the gaze, if we have to read the biography of the pious people of the awliya Allah, then you would see, we would gain so many lessons from there, that they would have so much of haya, they would have so much of modesty, that they would always, they would keep their gaze lowered. Like Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahimahullah, he would keep lowering his head and eyes always. Even some people would consider him a blind person. And he kept visiting the home of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu for 62 years. You know, when the female slave would see him coming, then she would say to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that your blind friend has come. Allahu Akbar. He would smile listening to her words. And when Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahimahullah would knock at the door, then this female slave would find him lowering his head and his gaze. And subhanallah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would see Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahimahullah, and he would recite this ayah, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, and give glad tidings, O dear Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the humble. Subhanallah. And after reciting the ayah, then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say that by Allah, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would see you, he would become so happy. And according to one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would like you. And according to another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would smile seeing you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Don't we want to make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam happy? Don't we want Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be happy with us? Of course we do. And for that, you and I, we need to have modesty. We need to adopt humbleness. We need to protect our gaze and lower our gaze. Like Sayyidina Hassan bin Abi Sinan, rahimahullah, he went to perform Eid Salah. When he returned home, his wife asked, how many women did you see today? And you know what he said? First, he remained silent. And his wife insisted a lot to know the answer. So he said that from the time I left home to returning to you, I kept looking at my toes. Meaning I kept looking down. I never pick up my head. Allahu Akbar. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, all of these parables, they show you and I how the pious people, the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they would lower their gaze, how they would protect their sight. And this is something that, you know, you and I, we need to adopt as well. You know, today we take so much of pleasure in seeing haram things. But remember, the eyes which are filled with haram sightings will be filled with fire one day. Our eyes are so delicate that if a small mosquito or a sand particle or some dust falls into it, the entire body gets restless. If you go to a closed room suddenly from the sun, your vision becomes so weak that you cannot see the thing lying near to you. You can then frighten yourself. It is that if these eyes are punished on the day of Qiyamah due to looking at unlawful things and not protecting your gaze and seeing the things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram, what will become of us? Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he has said that a person who was bleeding came in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, what has happened to you? He humbly said that a woman passed by me. When I looked at her, my eyes constantly followed her. And suddenly, a wall came in front of me and I got injured. That is why I am in this condition which you are seeing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that when Allah Ta'ala does good to someone, Allah Ta'ala punishes him in this dunya, in this world. Allahu Akbar. And Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he has narrated that whoever fills his eyes with haram gaze, Allah Ta'ala will fill his eyes with fire on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. And another narration as well. When Sayyidina Allama Abdul Rahman bin Jawzi rahimahullah has said that to see the beauty of a woman is one of the poison-tipped arrows of shaitan. On the day of Qiyamah, a needle of fire will be applied in the eyes of the one who does not protect his eyes from non-mahram. Allahu Akbar. Now just ponder. You know, whilst using surma, a person's hands, it trembles. If the needle of the surma even slightly touches the eye, a person becomes restless. And when a small needle of surma causes us so much of pain, what will be our condition if due to unlawful gazing. Allah Ta'ala is displeased with us, and if a needle of fire is applied in our eyes. Unfortunately, nowadays, you know, some unwise people have become so much habitual of unlawful gazing that, ma'adallah, they do not even feel relaxed unless they see non-mahram women. And for this bad cause, they wander in the markets, in the shopping centers, entertainment places. In short, they wander wherever there is a gathering of non-parda observing women. Not only, you know, do they wander there, but they also gaze unlawfully and destroy the world and the hereafter. That is why we should ponder over, have we forgotten our death? Have we got the guarantee of our forgiveness? Have we forgotten the punishments inflicted on the previous nations? Don't we learn a lesson by seeing funeral, by seeing janazah salahs? Don't we learn a lesson from the bedridden patients who are suffering terribly? Allahu Akbar, have we forgotten the narrow and dark grave? Shall we be able to answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir? Shall we not be accounted for our deeds on the day of Qiyamah? Allahu Akbar. All of these deeds of Madani channel, it is really, really something for you and I to ponder upon. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with these eyes. This is a bounty, a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to show gratitude for it? You want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your eyes? How does a person do that? One way of showing gratitude for your eyes is to not look at haram. That is you showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to show gratitude for your ears? You don't listen to haram. You want to show gratitude for your tongue? You don't speak haram. You don't speak anything wrong. You want to show gratitude for your hands? You don't oppress anyone. You don't use it in the wrong way. Gratitude for your feet, for your legs, you use it to go to places that are halal, not to places that are haram, not to places that are filled with evil and sins. No. So by us using our body limbs in the correct way, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are showing gratitude to Allah ta'ala by granting us these blessings. Remember that unlawful gazing, it destroys a person's world and the hereafter both. None of us wants to destroy both, especially our hereafter. Now, a person commits more and more disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to it. Shaitan occupies his heart and mind all at the time. A person suffers from a strange feeling of restlessness. He is overcome with nafsani desires and thoughts. Now, in order to satisfy his nafs, he commits deadly sins further, you know, such as fornication, etc., and destroys his youth himself. So we need to really, really protect our body limbs, the views of Madani channel. You know, there was once the blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, they were being blessed with the view of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the blessed court of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a handsome young man, he came and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grant me permission for fornication. Allahu Akbar. What a request he is putting forward to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the companions, alayhim ridwan, that were present there, they were shocked, they were astonished at this person's fearlessness. Now they started rebuking him for not taking care of the adab and manners in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them not to say anything to the young man and said, let him come near to me. So the young man, he came close without taking care of the sensitive situation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seated him beside himself and then presented him the call towards righteousness very politely, very affectionately. He says, oh young man, tell me, if someone does something like this to your mother, would you like it? And the young man, he said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I will not like it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you do not like that someone does something like this to your mother, so other people do not like it either, that someone does something like this to their mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, do you like it for your daughter? This young man, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, I do not like it, not at all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that other people do not like it for their daughters either. And then he asked, do you like it for your sister? And he replied that, may I be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, not at all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, similarly, other people do not like it for their sisters either. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him the same question about aunts, the sisters of mother and the sisters of the father, the young man. He replied in the negative every time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made him understand that when you do not like that anyone does something indecent to them, so remember, the woman with whom you will do something like this will also be someone's mother, someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's aunt. And as a result of this blessed individual effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the young man, he understood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had further mercy on him by placing his blessed hand on his chest and requested in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, forgive his sin, purify his heart, and protect his private parts. So by virtue of the blessings of this dua, that young man, he abstained from the bad deed throughout his life. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the blessed style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam impressed him so much that he not only felt ashamed of his fearlessness, but he also abstained from fornication throughout his life. Allahu Akbar. So yes, divis of Madani channel, we too, we need to protect our sight if we want betterment in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.